And it's Scott Simmons here with Radio Real Estate for the 18th of October 2011. I can't believe it's the 18th of October already. And things have started to change in the real estate market here. It seems like in the last 2 or 3 weeks we've had a little bit of a blip on sales. We've had quite a few incredible deals go through. One of the other agents just sold a house, and I had emailed all of my clients and put it on my own personal form that I have for all of my clients that it was the deal of the year. And it was a waterfront house that sold this last week for $600,000. About 2,800 square foot, brand new septic field, right on the water, fairly high bank waterfront, but incredible views. So when you see waterfront houses actually sell for $600,000, there's just some incredible deals, and the buyers are swooping in and picking up the deals. I mean, that's what they're after, are the incredible deals. That house was originally listed at, hopefully you're sitting down when you hear the price, originally listed at $1.8 million. It sold for $600,000. I mean, that's what people are looking for. So, you know, when your house is listed at $500,000 and it's not waterfront, it's going to be a tough sale in this market. But we're seeing some incredible deals. Buyers buy a property through me last week. Hopefully the conditions will come off this Friday. And, they got it for about $120,000 less than the sellers paid for the place. So again, we're seeing some, incredibly priced places that, the deal is just so good on some homes that the buyers can't resist. And if you're trying to sell, right now we have about 400 listings on the island, and a lot of places aren't moving. It's because the ones that are moving are the just incredibly priced places. So this morning's show, we actually have a roving reporter out there today. One of my friends, Alex Denny, who's on the show a lot of times. This morning, he's been working out in Canmore, Alberta for the last about 10 days. They went out there, I guess maybe a week ago they went out there to work on a house. So he's actually going to call in sometime during the next hour and give us an update on the market conditions of Canmore and Alberta and what he sees and how it's going. We want to kind of expand the picture away from just Salt Spring Island and see what other jurisdictions, what's happening in other places. So I expect Alex to call in within the hour. The other thing we're going to do today is I'm going to play a couple of audio tapes, taped interviews that I did with various people on the island about 2 weeks ago. And one was with Albert Kay, the water driller on the island, and it was an interview about how he finds water and how he drills, how much it costs, and all how he finds where to drill, all the different things. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop for a quick commercial break, and then we'll go right into Albert's interview. So bear with me, and we'll talk to you after the interview.
Autumn on Salt Spring means many things to different people, and for those that like their sports, autumn can only mean soccer, volleyball, and indoor swimming. Does your child need new or used soccer cleats for the game tomorrow? Would you like your high schooler to save their knees with volleyball pads? Can't find your swimming goggles? And those fairy fairs are something you don't want to deal with. Simple solution. Go downtown to our own sports traders, and they'll have what you want at prices you can afford, with knowledgeable staff. And it's all saving money on the fairy fair you didn't pay. Sports Traders on Hereford Avenue. Their soccer, volleyball, and swimming headquarters on our island.
That's Scott Simmons, and we're with the Home Improvement Show, and I'm with Albert. And Albert is a well driller on Salt Spring Island. So what does that mean? You go out and drill water wells, Albert?
I find the people water so they can build. They can't build without water for a water sample.
You got to have potable water to build a house. So you actually do the witching too, don't you?
I find the water for them.
Find the water and then drill the well.
In most cases, it's successful.
most cases. Well, you never. There's no guarantees when you're drilling, that's for sure.
No, it's like an oil well.
It's like an oil well. Now, how deep can you drill, actually, if you're drilling down on Salisbury?
The deepest is 8 1/4, 825 feet.
Oh, really? I didn't think you went over 600 feet deep.
No. We can go down.
825, wow, that's amazing.
825 feet.
And then if you're down that deep, you've got to case the well, too, to deep
up.
No.
You only case down into the bedrock.
Oh, okay.
And then you grout it in the ground.
Oh, okay.
Cement it in so groundwater can't get in.
Oh, okay.
And then you got to have an 18-inch out of the ground, which is the law now for BC.
Right. And then you've got to have that capped off and with bolted on there, right?
With a bolted on cap. No artesians. It's against the law now to have an artesian well.
It is, really, in BC.
Yeah, you have to seal it. Sometimes it can cost you more than what it costs to drill the well.
Wow. And then, I always thought the casing went way down. It doesn't actually go that far, though.
No, it only goes approximately 5 feet, 10 feet into the rock. It depends how shattered it is,
sure.
But you go past the shattered to solid rock. And
sure. Now, how long would it normally take you to drill a well? It's a day's operation or more, is it?
2 days. You should be finished. 300-foot well. It also depends on what material you're going through. So.
Right. Well, that's just it. Sometimes when I find the wells, now I look at the spent material, and you can see what's down there or something.
Most cases, yeah. You can tell if it's shale or granite or sandstone just by the cuttings.
Now, are there some spots on Salt Spring where you've been doing it for quite a while on Salt Spring, so you must know what areas, how deep and how shallow, where you're going to hit water?
The depth, you never know. Most areas you do, between the shale, sandstone, quartz, lots of quartz, south end, and anywhere from Cushion Lake south.
Once you get down in the south half, the rock down there, the geology is different than the north half of the island.
That's true. Lots of shale at the north end.
Do you charge more to drill down through the granite of the south end?
No, it's the same price. The only difference is, in overburden, you got to pay extra for the casing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, same price all the way.
So generally speaking, are the wells in our... The north half of the island is basically Nanaimo Glacial Till. Are the wells generally shallower in the north half of the island?
No, you call it glacier till. It's not glacier till. It's shale.
Shale. Okay, shale.
Yeah.
So is that generally speaking in the shale of the north half of the island, are the wells somewhat shallower than the granite on the south half? Or?
No, you'll get normally shallower wells in the granite than you do in the shale. And you get better water in the granite and the sandstone. You get way better water.
Oh, really? Because it actually collects water better in the aquifers through the granite, you think?
You're talking about aquifers, and I'm not one that believes in them, so...
Oh, there you go. See, you don't. Yeah, so the water's just down there somewhere, or what?
What we do is we cut these fractures off.
Right.
The stick will not work on still water. It's got to move.
Oh, okay. So the water's down there moving, and you're just basically...
To me it is.
Right.
To me it is, because
right.
I've seen cameras go down where you can see the water moving in the well.
Right. And then also you do pump tests too, don't you? Like a well test to find out how much water you've got in there.
All your subdivisions are pump tested, every well. Pump tested for 12 hours and 3 hours on recovery, how fast it comes back. On all those wells, it's the first hour that'll tell you how good a well it is on the recovery.
Now, I've got a question about that. Is it dependent on the time of year that you do a test on a well? Could it make a difference if you did it in August or if you did it in January?
It would depend on the material you're in, for one thing. Shale, yes, because it's so porous. It also depends on shale if it's standing up or laying down.
Okay.
In some spots, it's standing up, so the water's going to go in a lot easier than if it's sheet-like.
Okay.
That's why your aquifers, I don't... If you were to drill in a subdivision, and they're all on the same level,
right.
All your wells should be the same depth.
Right.
Because you're going into the same aquifer.
Right.
It's not like that.
Right.
You can have a 150-foot well next to it, a 300-foot well.
Well, that's what I've noticed. They're all different, every one.
Every one. And when you do a pump test, you monitor the well beside you, and I've never had one that was hooked. So they can't be in the same aquifer then.
Right. I see what you mean, because they're all individual. Like, and it doesn't necessarily, if one well is a high producer, you could be right by it with one that isn't producing well.
Most of the time it's like that. Yeah. You can have 100 gallon a minute on one well, and 100 feet away have a half a gallon.
And it's Scott here. We're just going to pause Albert for a second, and I've got a caller into the radio show. And is that you, Alex?
Caller calling from Alberta.
How's things going out in Alberta, Alex?
It's pretty good. It's amazing how dry it is here, in fact.
How dry it is, really. Is it snowy? Is it like 30 below or what?
Oh, no, it's T-shirts.
T-shirt weather. So whereabouts are you, in Canmore?
We're halfway between Canmore and Cochrane, but I'm from the porch here up on the house. I'm staring right back at the mountains. So
wow,
we're not that far away from Canmore.
So how does the construction industry look out there? Is it booming? Is it slow? Is it busy or what?
Well, where we are is in the mountains, right? It's, you know, it's a plateau, 3,500 foot elevation plateau,
right?
And it really, it's huge acreages. 60 acre lot is what we're on, is actually, I think, considered a small lot here.
Wow.
You know, so we actually haven't been into Calgary, but Canmore itself seems to be nonstop. A lot of fancy places. You know, you talked about a $1.5 million place for sale on Salt Spring. There's some places out in Canmore for $12 million or more.
Are you going to buy one?
I got to ask you for the money.
Well, it might be a little while coming. So
yeah.
Are there a lot of for sale signs out there? Does it look like things are actually like, does it look like here where there's just every second house has a for sale sign, or are there no for sale signs, or what are you seeing?
You know, we kind of noticed that in places, you know, along the way, places like Revelstoke or, yeah, some of the other smaller towns, every second house, you know, was for sale, but there wasn't a lot happening there.
Right.
You know, Golden, for example.
Yeah.
There's brand new subdivisions that are sitting sort of half developed, you know, some
right.
new homes, a lot of raw land, and developers wanting to just slash prices and make a deal.
Sure.
But, you know, I think it's a similar situation, is that there aren't too many people buying.
Sure.
Right now.
Sure.
You know, even the 12 or $14 million places, they've slashed them to $8 million.
Whoa, what a deal. Get two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call, Alex.
You're welcome.
So keep busy out there. Make lots of money. And we do look forward to having you back on Salt Spring Island sometime in the future. So
Absolutely.
Be safe and have a good trip.
Thanks. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for calling in. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Take care.
So we're back with the Radio Real Estate Show. We're going to continue with the taped interview with Albert Kay, the well driller on Salt Spring Island. I do apologize for the background noise in the tape, because the location that we're at was a fairly busy location, but he's a hard guy to track down, and he's a real expert in water wells and drilling water wells. And it's the kind of information that's just hard to get, you know, out of a book or anything. Like, how do you drill a well? I had no idea they went down 825 feet. And I always thought the casings went all the way to the ground, but they don't. They just go down to the bedrock. So you learn a little bit every time you talk to a person like this. And so we'll continue back with the interview with Albert.
So you can't tell. I would never tell a person the flow of a well, because I don't. That's like, to me, is like looking in a crystal ball.
Right. Because you can't like, how, and people always want to know, well, how many GPMs, and that's what I say. Well, it's so dependent. I mean, you know, the time of year, it depends on so much.
Well, I can tell you when the well is drilled.
Right. You get that brief window when the well's drilled, but you don't. There's nothing going out from there.
No, but in a way, our wells, when we hit them, we always put the flow less than what we actually get it at the time. And if we got it in March, then we'll cut it way down. So if you get a 3 gallon a minute well in March, we might say a gallon and a half. And that's what you should get. And that's plenty for a house.
So you always go way low just in case it doesn't...
In case the table does drop, or if it's got something.
You're not a realtor. You're not going to overestimate things.
No, well, realtors always underestimate the cost.
Well, there we go. Exactly. So someone's car alarm is sounding in the background here, so bear with us while that shuts off. Now, speaking of cost, I mean, everybody wants to probably know how much is a well, but it's like saying how long is a ball of string.
That's right. It can go anywhere from 2,000 to 10,000.
It all depends on access, even the access, like getting your truck in there. All those things add up to your time and energy, isn't it?
Well, we only charge for the drilling end, but you got to get us in. We got to have access to the well site where we can drive in. The rigs are heavy, so you got to have good ground for them, right, or we'll go out of sight, and that costs you more to get us out.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And then you charge per foot, then, I guess.
Everything's per foot.
Right.
Except cleanouts. And cleanouts is a setup charge, and then we charge so much an hour for the rig.
Okay.
If you have to replace a rig, you're looking at least $750,000.
Right.
And that's not counting anything.
Right.
Just the rig.
Right. So now, when you charge by the foot, if you drill down 60 feet and you all of a sudden are hitting really good water, then whoever's putting in the well, they've got a pretty good deal.
I just did one.
Okay.
They say groundwater is 50 feet. Anything right. under 50 feet is groundwater.
Right.
But when you hit in the middle of September, 3-4 gallons a minute at 50 feet, you give the owner the option of keeping it or going deeper.
Right.
It's up to the owner. We work for the owner. We don't
right.
work for ourselves in
right.
a way, but if the owner wants us to go deeper, we'll go deeper. But.
Now, sometimes the risk you can get by going deeper, though, is if you're close to the ocean, you could penetrate into the salt water, can't you?
Only in certain areas, and don't forget, most of your salt water wells are not sea salt.
Oh, right, okay.
It's mineral salt.
Right.
Because each one's different.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you can find salt water wells on salt spring and not even be close to the ocean, which always confuses people.
That's true. That's
right.
true.
Which is a real...
Yeah, it's... in a lot of areas, you really got to watch. When you hit good water, you got to quit, because 25 feet more, you might hit salt.
Yeah, that could be... Yeah, or else even sulfur or something like that,
well,
too.
Well, sulfur's okay, because you can get rid of it.
Right.
Just have to aerate it into a tank, and it's gone.
Right.
You can also get rid of it with bleach.
Right.
A cup of bleach sometimes. And lots of times it's got nothing to do with the well. It's your hot water tank.
Right. The anoids in your hot water tank.
Yeah, that's right. The anoids will do a reaction on the water, and usually it's twice as strong as sulfur.
Exactly. Now, that's why there's different types of anoids if you have sulfur in the water.
That's true. Yep. Yes.
Well, thank you very much for this insightful interview from Albert Kane, a well driller on Salt Spring Island. It's one of those mysterious things that people always ask, you know, I want to drill a well. How much is it going to cost? It's like, well, how big is a ball of string? I mean, it's impossible to really predict. You have to hire a good driller. He's got to come over and take a look at it, and then you go from there. That's the way it goes, kind of, isn't it, Elvin?
That's right.
There's no guarantees in life, and there's no guarantees when you're drilling a well.
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
You want a guarantee, we'll pay, you'll pay more.
There you go. Well, thank you very much, Albert. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll talk to you later.
And it's Scott Simmons back with the Radio Real Estate Show. And that was my interview with Albert, the well driller on the island here. And it's always a problem finding water on the island or having a good supply of water. And if you do have a good supply of water, you're really lucky and really blessed, because water is a precious commodity that you have to have, and you have to prove potability to build a house. Back in, you know, I showed lots a couple weeks ago to people up from the U.S., and if the lot was developed before, I don't know when the cutoff date was, but somewhere around 75, maybe 1980, in that range, then they didn't have to have a well on it. So there'd be no well on the actual lot. And a developer could put in lots without wells and sell them. And there was one that we were looking at with these people, and it had no well. And so the thing is, you'd have to buy the lot and then hire Albert or another driller and come out and drill a well and make sure you have water. So the risk was fairly high for the people buying. And so they actually liked the lot, but they just couldn't get over the risk factor of it and wanted to move on and see something else that had a well. So, you know, I mean, it's a big problem if there's no well on the site. To if someone develops a new lot now, you know, one of the developers or somebody, a private person, you know, subdivides their own lot, they actually have to prove a well in the subdivision process, and it has to have potable water. And they have to have a well log, and the well log has to be registered, and they have to have a water test that will back up the well log. But it's the lots that don't have wells that are for sale. My advice is, if you're trying to sell a lot like that, and there's a few that have been for sale for, you know, 3 or 4 years at least, with no wells on it, it's like you got to hire a driller and drill a well and prove water, and at that point, you will probably be able to sell your lot. But think about it, from the buyer's perspective, there's just a huge, huge risk of buying a house without water. I mean, you buy a lot, and then you bring in Albert, and he can't find water. What do you do at that point? Then you're really behind the eight ball. So anyways, we're going to stop for a quick commercial break, and I'll be right back with Radio Real Estate Show.